looking. Smile even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by if you smile through your fear and sorrow. Smile and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through for you. Light up your face with gladness. Hide every trace of sadness. Although a tear may be ever so near, that's the time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll find that life is still worthwhile if you just smile.
Welcome everyone to a very, very, very special edition of Grief Chat. It's actually kind of a bittersweet day for me, as today is our final edition of Grief Chat as we know it with host Mitch Carmody. And Mitch started this show many, many years ago to help bereaved people. You know what? Mitch is at a different point in his life, and he has decided to move on and pursue some other things, or maybe not pursue things at all, what the case may be. But Mitch, we want to welcome you to KDWA one last time as the host of Grief Chat, and I'll just go on record as saying thank you for all the many, many things I've learned from you and all the people's lives that you have touched over the years. How are you today?
Thank you, Mo, for the beautiful welcoming and knowing this is kind of our last session of this. I may come back as a guest someday. Right now, this is a perfect spot in my life, and I've just enjoyed so many of our... I mean, we've done hundreds, if we count the two split segments of Gov Grief Chat over the, 7 to 8 years.
You know, we really have, and it's been just such a joy for me because you have given... not only me, but I know our listeners, some other ways of looking at grief. And today I have to admit, I'm sort of feeling down in the dumps grief. I'm feeling a sense of loss because our show is coming to an end. Please tell me that's normal.
Yes, and that is normal. It's a loss of anything, you know? Even with the changes from COVID, when we had to do this differently, you know? Being from home and not being in the same room together like we always have, and high five and laugh and hug, and that was wonderful. And it's changed. A lot of things have changed during the COVID. Not the reason for ending a Grief Chat, but it's just you look for the signs that God gives you that things are kind of going in a different direction, and you kind of just acknowledge those, and then it's always a good thing.
Well, right. So, Mitch, let's talk about those signs. How did you know it was time to say goodbye to Grief Chat?
Well, this year, December 1st, coming up here in 3 weeks, and will be 33 years that Kelly has died. Just so many things have been really deeper this year or more significant this year. And this time of year has always been our spirits on guard, our memories are on guard from November 1st to December 1st. You know, with those 4 weeks, he was dying of cancer. So every one of those days were just a full day of not even comprehending where our next day would be, you know, knowing that he was dying but didn't know when. And that carries, and then all the work that I've done over the years about, and with Grief Chat and proactive grieving, and that we grieve body, mind, soul, and spirit. I was talking to a man today whose son, Yartzeit, he's Jewish, the day will be tomorrow, and it's been 10 years. And he said, it feels so weird, so much deeper this year, and he didn't know why. And I told him, I called him back and I said, I know why it feels deeper this year, because I looked up your son's death day and I looked up my son's death day. For him, it's the same calendar day. For me, it's the same calendar day. This December 1st, it'll be Tuesday. 33 years ago, it was Tuesday. So every Sunday, Monday that led up to that Tuesday is now coming back to me. You know, that feeling and memory more, because our body remembers there's just something significant about calendar memories. And this my friend in Texas that we've met through this whole journey, and he's been on the radio show, I believe. And my granddaughter sends, you know, pictures to them. Uncle Ray, she calls him Uncle Raymond, and he died of the H1N1 flu. So what's going on now is he's seeing hundreds of people dying every day, you know, and his son was one of those tragedies 10 years ago during the H1N1. So we're both feeling a lot of interesting things. But the calendar moment, you know, we're just recognizing how things have changed for him in 10 years and how things have changed for me in 33 years. I'm just feeling now there's much more a different pull in the universe. I am actually doing a funeral in Northfield. It's just so unusual, but you'll understand because of all the years we've been doing Grief Chat that this woman, and I think I've told this story, that when Kelly was dying this week, you know, these weeks, and we needed a house for Christmas to celebrate, you know, some sort of Christmas, and my mother-in-law's neighbor was out of town, and they supplied us with their house filled with Christmas lights and a tree, and so we could stay there, you know. And this was after Kelly had died, so we were just with Megan, you know. So anyway, the whole Christmas, well, there was no Christmas that year, so they gave us a Christmas in their house to use, so our daughter would have a place to stay for Christmas. And those are just our neighbors, my mother-in-law's neighbors, and I met when my wife and I were dating when I was 15 years old, and I know Gary would always come over and talk, and I loved him and loved his wife and got to know them. But, you know, years went by. I mean, they're just my mother-in-law's neighbors. And so I, you know, really thought about them. But 20 years ago when my father-in-law died, they came to the funeral, you know, and she came up to me afterwards. She goes, if my husband or I ever go, I want you to send us off. So her husband just recently died now during the COVID, and she wants me to do his funeral in Northfield. And that is just an acquaintance that was a blessing from my son. They did a favor for us a long time ago. And I just said, of course I will do that. And I'm doing a wedding, two weddings coming up because I can legally do that. And so those things are doing. And I was doing pencil drawings for years, portraits of children who have died. And I've done hundreds of portraits of children who died. And I can't do those anymore. I found I can't do them. And now I'm doing pencil in color. I bought expensive colored pencils, and I'm drawing colored flowers. I'm drawing celebrations. I'm doing different things in my life that has, you know, 33 years has brought me to this point, and I don't regret it. I just look for the signs, that especially the God, the signposts to show that, yeah, this is the way to go, you know. And it doesn't take away from why it even started. I mean, do you remember when we started this, Mo?
Of course, a long, long time ago. And I guess just to see it morph into what it is today has been just a joy. Mitch, when you said you can't do black and white drawings anymore, does that mean your soul is healed in a different way and you're now able to draw in color?
That's a good question. And because I used to do all sorts of color before Kelly died. Then I couldn't do any art after he died until Mother Teresa died. And then I did a portrait of Mother Teresa, which is still one of my best works. Mm-hmm. And I did it in pencil and found that I could, in my gray black and white world, I could create art in the same color that I was living in. So that's what I did for 33 years. But now the colors come back in my life, and I want to draw what I'm seeing. When I sat with these pictures and did portraits of children who had died, I sat with their spirit. I felt their spirit, and I put it all into that picture. And I don't want to go into that space anymore. I don't, you know, I can't. Literally, as an artist, I can't feel and sit in that space with these kids. I'm just, maybe I'm oversaturated and oversad, it's a different point in my perspective, I guess. I don't know, but I know it's changed.
Are you at a different spot mentally, do you think?
Yes, Barb and I, we when we found this place in Prescott 3 years ago, everything changed. Kelly found us this place, you know, out of happenstance, and we said, oh my God, yes, of course he directed us here, and everything that's been surrounded here has been perfect for us. And so, yeah, everything feels so complete. There is no closure, but there is a completeness. There is a circle that has come full, and that's what we both feel, that things have come so full circle that we're just looking forward to going to Europe, traveling, and we're retired, you know, and living like retirees, with spending time with our grandchildren and writing. And I'm working on my third book. And so now I've been writing like crazy. I've been writing at least every day and work on the third book. And I'm finding, because there's only so much energy you can expend. And I just know I need to write this third book because the third book is from Kelly. It's from written in his, it's called Letters to Dad, you know, and so it's him writing to me telling about his perspective of our life these past 33 years and how much he has been a part of that, how he's helped God influence those little miracles in our lives that yes, he was a part of it. And I want other people to be able to read that, this 33-year perspective of when I didn't think I could survive a week, I've just now survived 1,713 weeks since he died. Mm. So I'm really starting to, I don't know, seeing the whole full picture of it, I guess. I'm maybe going on and on too much, but I feel, yeah, just the rightness about where we're going, and Barb and I and everything in life, and the friends that we've made on this journey. I mean, that when we started the show 11, 12 years ago, I remember when a boy at the school that when I worked at St. Elizabeth Seton, and Jonathan Mingo died, and I was his friend in school as the custodian, you know. And when he died, I felt awful, you know. And I remember helping his mom get through that experience. You know, and then in town when Maddie Sakes died, and then Mitch Lucas after that, and then Connor, you know, and that's when I said, you know, I've got to reach out to the community with what I've learned going across the country and bring it in Hastings. And that's when I talked to you guys. We found out there was an opening, you know, for a time slot. And I said, good, because I want to reach out to the community. And I started with a group that we met at the church for a year with the Schusters, too. Their son Aaron had died a year before, 2011, and Mitch's parents were there, and even Jonathan's mom came, who's been 5 years for her in her grief. But we met for a year, and outcropping of that meeting for a year, we started the radio show that year and said, we want to continue this group, it's disbanding, but we can reach out to the community of Hastings and surrounding community and the country once a week, the second Tuesday. And that changed so much again. That was another wonderful stargate, or, you know, something opened up in our lives just that day we did that. So I appreciate what KWA has done for me in my life.
Mitch, tell us about some of your favorite memories from Grief Chat.
Oh, I try to, if I could pull in on any certain person, but actually my favorite memories is, and I can't even bring the person in, but it is you laughing. You across from me and laughing.
That doesn't sound appropriate, does it, for your show Grief Chat?
But not in the grief show,
but we know. Sure did have a lot of laughs, Mitch.
And then in between sets, and you take out your little baggie of Cheerios, and it just cracks me up, you know?
Mitch, you're giving away all my secrets. What are you doing?
I'm giving away all your secrets. I like that, you know? And the walk that we've been through, you know, with your challenge by cancer and the, some of the losses that you've had, and that we've talked about that we weren't even on air, and so many of those important things that they're not even recorded, you know, that we've experienced. I have gratitude for that.
Well, you know, we all have so much gratitude for all you have done. Do you ever get feedback from people about how important this show has been to others? Because I certainly hear it.
You know, like Kathy Seehunter, I guess that would be the other, when I'm thinking about a person, is Kathy, having Kathy Seehunter mm-hmm. on the show, you know, that as a continuing on and off guest, you know, like, you know, just nice, so nice to have her as a repeat guest.
Absolutely. And Mitch, when you look back at your own grief journey, has Grief Chat helped you kind of heal or get to this next step yourself?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, it has. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's just because it allowed me to keep the narrative going in a whole different way. You know, a lot of people think the story's over or it got an ending, and you realize that through the connection that we make with all the bereaved from 2 minutes out to 30 years down the road, that there's a connection made, and we know it. We don't have to talk about it with the whole world and say that we're still hurting. We're not grieving hard maybe like we did. But we still miss, we're still sad, we still go through the calendar days that sting, you know, but they don't drop us to our knees anymore. But yet there's that commonality that we all experience that, even though people don't voice it. So being on the radio and having that platform to get that message out to people, after I've gotten emails from so many people that have listened to the show and said, thank you for normalizing it for us.
Mm-hmm. That's really what you have done. And I love how you've always said that nobody grieves in the same way. And so if you're sad about something, be sad. be sad. Yeah. Nobody can put a time limit on it. And then I also have always enjoyed all the things that you tell us lay people not to say to bereaved people. And you know what? I'm actually headed to a wake later today. So tell people what they shouldn't say to a family that's sad.
Yeah, that is a good point that we have brought that up. Like not saying committed in connection with suicide is just helpful, and not to say, you know, God needed another flower. I mean, there's a lot of things that we've discussed and people have listened, and thank God we validated it for them, because people are changing their lexicon of terms they use with a bereaved, and that's due in part what we've been doing for, you know, 8 years, and I'm very proud of that.
Barb, tell me how proud you are of Mitch and all he's accomplished.
I think, you know, I have been on this journey with Mitch, and I have traveled the different states and cities and been alongside with him, watching him doing workshops, standing on his feet for 8 hours and teaching people, pulling people in. I am very proud of him. I think that he has accomplished a lot, and I think that in the grief world, he has had some wonderful, wonderful statements, that his stairs, his proactive breathing, a lot of things that he has kept on. And it makes sense to people, where people are kind of floundering around, well, where do we go? What do we do? That he makes sort of a null sense come into some sense for a person. So I am very proud of him, and it has been a wonderful, wonderful journey alongside him on this path.
Well, I'm really happy for the two of you. So what is next?
What is next is just going to finish my book, Letters to My Dad. And it's just so fun writing together, like with Kelly, because I'm feeling him talk to me and give me ideas and having it's like a project together. And in that process, the retrospect of my whole life, I'm really putting it into retrospect from the losses I've had early on, to understand and see the change in perception through experiencing the different losses and acknowledging those losses, and how the difference between not acknowledging and acknowledge them in your grief, how different that is. So that we just talk about it as much as we want to, as we can, and we're seeing a huge change. So yeah, I'm just so proud to be a part of. We're doing a cruise, just select things I'm going to do. We're doing a grief cruise in 2021, and they planned it a year or so ago, so I plan to do that. And occasionally speak somewhere want to. And hopefully the pandemic will, with vaccine coming out now, that we can be able to do live conferences again. And I may or may not go to another conference. I don't know. I don't say yes or no to almost anything, but I sure like looking at a blank calendar on my wall right now.
Well, you deserve it, Mitch. Congratulations on your retirement. And we're very, very happy that you took the time to chat with us today. I sure have learned a lot from you, and I know our listeners have as well. But again, it's a super bittersweet day. Mitch Carmody, he has been the host of Grief Chat, and he is going to take some time for himself and pursue some other interests, but still help the grieving. And we're so grateful for all you've done. Barb, God bless both of you too. God bless you. Thank you. Yes, thank you so much. And you are listening to another edition of Grief Chat on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings. Smile.